Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Thursday, the 19th of March. Okay, so what do we know now? We know that Irish Racing is continuing one meeting a day from tomorrow. I published a schedule on Twitter last night. I will have trades and bets where necessary, not just for the sake of it, but if there's anything on those days and any info I get, the guys in Ireland are still sending bets over, whether that continues or not. But while it's going, I will have stuff. So we might have some back to lays in, trades to put on, and some just outright back bets for those of you interested. I think it is important, particularly at this time when you're feeling a bit starved and you're sat at home doing nothing or whatever, to remember not just to bet on anything. I keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it. This will pass. Everything on FTS will continue. It will start up again. It will resume. Football will come back. And I think it is just a matter of patience and discipline and not turning. Instantly I've had and seen, roulette offers and casino offers being thrust upon people as bookmakers try and obviously try and find another form of revenue. And it's important to keep your discipline and fill your time with other things. But as I say, anything that does come up, I will be doing. I've nicked a good few quid over the last couple of days still. And the Irish Racing may be an opportunity to do things through this period. As I say, not sure how long it will last. But for your own sort of mindset, just desperate to have a gamble, turning your attention to stuff you've never touched before is not the way forward. This will pass. Everything, as I say, it will continue. I know people are feeling that it's Armageddon and it's terrible. I'm not playing this down by any stretch of the imagination. But we've got the people of Wuhan are being let out now. So if you take that we're sort of 8-10 weeks behind them, as I said, I'm quite optimistic that we're going to get a handle on this a little bit quicker. The time for I told you so's may well come, but it doesn't help when you see videos of fucking idiots in Benidorm or wherever it was, English blokes getting pissed up. Just imagine the reaction if that was foreigners in our country, if that was French getting pissed in English bars, saying, "Oh, sod it." And then in Miami, I saw last night, I think it was CBS or CNN, one of the news feeds I follow, the kids in Miami, spring break, if I get corona, I get corona, this virus isn't that, that's unfortunately, I totally agree with Boris Johnson. He's trying to let us decide and manage ourselves because that's what society should be about. But it may well come that if people can't just follow basic instructions, then that's it. Lock it down. Sooner you lock it down, the more you suppress it, the less the pressure on the NHS, the sooner things can get back to normal. I really get what, whatever age you are, people don't understand about that. And it's just a selfishness. Those guys in Benidorm, that's Britain, unfortunately. Whatever anybody says, Magaluf, I've been to Magaluf. Magaluf is the shithole of the world. And where they've been really clever is they have taken one little strip and said, "You Brits like to behave like that. This is where you can do it." And they've just basically rumbled it all in there. And it's an absolute pisshole. It is a fucking disgrace of a place. I've been there a few times on golfing trips years gone by. And I couldn't actually quite believe what I see. I've never had it in me to behave like that. I like to have a beer. But people are just a fucking disgrace. And Brits have got a unique knack of it. And when I saw that in Benidorm the other day, those people, "Fuck corona, we're out here having a beer over there." They are exactly the sort of people, if it was somebody doing that in this country, they'd be, ship them home, fucking absolute disgrace. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk... obviously, I talked about the podcast yesterday and whether I carried it on, and I had some talk about people who, and it's lovely to hear they want me to keep going. So I'm going to keep the podcast going daily. Obviously, there's going to be less sports content, but I'm going to fill it with some new features. I'm going to give you some stats of the day. I'm going to give you some niche betting that you might want to write down each day for when football does return. I am going to give you some stories. Dio reminded me I hadn't done the Vegas stories. It wasn't, none of it is intentional. I just forget. I get my mind goes into other things every day, and you know when the football's on, you're so busy. I do genuinely work non-stop from Friday through to Monday, and it just gets forgotten. I don't do any of this on purpose, but now we have got time to plan, and I'm going to sort of set about doing that. So I'm going to do a bit of that. I'm going to talk a bit more about how I got to where I got to. People have asked, how did I get going in poker? How did I get going generally? I did cover that a bit last year, but obviously I think we've probably got some new listeners, so it won't do any harm, because it was probably a year on now that I covered stuff like that. So I will go back over some of the older stories and some of the that. As I say, bets will continue, but I'm going to do a couple of new features. I'm very conscious that, I mean, I know people, Art, for example, lives on his own and is having a bad time. I'm very conscious that we're all going to go a bit stir crazy. I'm very conscious that there will be female members at home who now have their husbands at home driving them mad day in, day out, and vice versa, where that wouldn't normally be the case. I think it is good to have that sort of separation time. I'm very conscious that we'll have people in the emergency services whose only life is being consumed by dealing and talking about this. So this may work or may not work, but mental health, I mean, it is a big issue at the minute, but it is just something that I'm quite conscious of, because I've had my own battles over the years with different things, and obviously my son has had his. About things to do when you are housebound. What can you do when you are actually stuck indoors? So I'm going to come up with some sort of things for you to do. And I know some of you I've already seen on Twitter doing jigsaw puzzles, things like that you wouldn't do. As it's well documented, I'm not a great one for TV. I am going to try and watch TV. But books, reading books, learning new things, and stuff like that. So you might want to look at learning a language or stuff like that. But one thing I'm going to set up, and we're going to set it up from today. Tomorrow I'm going to start a book of the day. So every day I'm going to do a little quick review of a book that I've read. I did say to people, The Slight Edge. So if you haven't read that, then that would be where I would start with people, The Slight Edge, which was recommended to me by FTS member Dan Williams. And I think it's a great book. But at the minute we're fostering a dog, as you know, which is fantastic, and that was something that got me thinking of this. We're going to have FTS Foster Connect, and this is really aimed at people who maybe are on their own or people who just want to talk. If you want to email me with FTS Connect in the title and put things that you may be interested in, away from coronavirus and away from betting. It doesn't always have to be betting related. I mean, obviously we've all got that in common, but other things in common. I will then, with your permission, by sending me that email, link you to another FTS member, or maybe two, and form a little partnership, a little group, where you can exchange emails each day, an email relationship, where you write back and forth as if you were meeting in the pub. Just to give you something else in a day to perhaps look forward to or talk about. Don't know whether it'll work, don't know whether people are interested in it, but I'm more than happy to use some of my time setting that up, linking people in, perhaps becoming part of some of those conversations as to kill time. But if you want to do that, then FTS Connect in the email, I'll look out for them and I'll link people up, and you know, you don't have to stalk anyone or whatever. Just literally a sort of FTS partnership where you're linked with one or two other members and you can sit and talk about whatever you want to talk about, your feelings on that day, anything. So if anybody wants to partake in that and thinks it's a good idea, I think it's a good idea. I almost sounded Trump-like. Then I think it's a great idea. I have all the best ideas. I've got all the ideas. I've got all the best ideas. But I do think it would be something that may benefit people if this is going to go on 4 or 5 weeks. Then it's just something different in your day for you to talk to people or whatever. So if anybody wants to do that, and as I say, I don't want it all to be about the betting. I want it just to be a sort of break from real life, if you like, talking about anything that you like. With me, I'd probably spout on about my daughter to somebody for about 3 years and fill that up. But your FTS Connect, drop me an email, anybody who wants to be linked up, and I will try and obviously, if you put some things that you're interested in, perhaps TV programs you watch, countries you like to visit, foods, whatever, I will try and link you in. to that. Somebody said about cooking, I am going to do some recipes. I'm going to do some FTS recipes, get you all fitter and healthier. There is no harm if you're in a sort of more rural spot that you can go out for a walk every day, 5-10 minutes, as long as you're social distancing. That will do people good, just to get a bit of fresh air and a bit of walk that people may not be used to. One of the great things with me having this dog, it's got me out walking again. That's I loved my time with my dog walking with Honey the Staffy that we lost in November. And just to have that back, it's come right at the perfect time for me to get out twice a day walking the dog. I just absolutely love it. I just love watching him run around and enjoy himself. So FTS Connect in the email, and we'll join people together. And ultimately, if we make one relationship where it's taking people's minds off it, I'll be happy. But obviously, you've all got your own difficulties. People may have job threats, whatever. So it's stuff that you can discuss and perhaps get a different point of view from somebody, rather than knocking your spouse's brains out with it day in, day out, or your kids driving you bananas. So I hope that people make use of that. You know, we get a good 500-600 of you used to the pod, listen to the pod. If we get 2 or 3 people, I will mention it every day going forward, for new listeners, in amongst other stuff. And I'm more than happy to try and link people together. And if I see people in conversations that I think, yeah, I don't mind joining in that, I will join in. If you're talking about EastEnders, I'll leave you to it. Right, I'm going to talk about some stats. One of the things I was asked about was price. I do want to reiterate, FTS trading, everything, portals trading, everything will continue. It is. I'm going to probably have to say that every day, because people are panicking. There's nothing to panic about. Golf will come back. Golf Girl will come back. Will come back. Will may have some Irish racing. I haven't spoken to him yet. The Football League may well get finished. We've got the big meeting today, but I'm certain they're going to try and finish that. I'm not necessarily, I agree that it has to be played before another season can start, but I understand why they want to finish it. And if that's their goal, then I'm certain that they will find a way to do that. So all this stuff will return. But I'm going to talk so that we're ready when it does come back. Somebody asked me yesterday about price. So I'm going to give you a couple of views today, which might give you a little insight into how I work. I'm going to need my calculator here. So if I look at a market that I quite like the 1.5 goal market. And those who listen to this pod know I very rarely get involved from the start. My entry points tend to be 25 minutes if I'm looking to get in first half, or in the second half I generally look at 45, 55 and 65. So I might look at a game that's 0-0 at half time and back over 1.5. Then I may look at a game that's 0-0 55 minutes. A lot of that depends on the price available and the circumstances of the match. But if we look at betting in general, if we look at how people bet on football in general, and you see it all over Twitter, and the guys who dig it out are quite right. And to be fair, these sort of stats are on FDD. People automatically get drawn to things like last 6 games, both teams have had over 1.5 goals 100% of the time. And then when it ends 1-0, can't believe that. The stats were in their favour, this, that and the other. Unbelievable stats, this one. That generally is how people work. It's almost for me like a roulette mentality, where if you go in any roulette table and let's say there's 10 blacks, just stand back and watch the bets on red suddenly increase, because people just automatically think, well, red's going to come in. It's had 10 blacks, it's got to be red. The slight difference in roulette is obviously the odds don't change. The odds are exactly the same every spin. The probabilities are there. In football, the odds move. So if you think, for example, that nobody else knows that, which is a ludicrous thought, that Tottenham v Arsenal, they're Tottenham's last 6 home games, Arsenal's last 6 away games have all been over 1.5 goals, the bookmakers' odds will move, be it a layer on Betfair or whatever, I'm just going to call in the bookmakers in general, will move to entice you to have that bet. And ultimately, you'll end up, the odds will go down to a level. When somebody asks me about price, why price is important, the odds will go down to a level where it's impossible to make money at that. The money was actually on backing unders, because obviously as the price for overs goes lower, the price for unders goes higher. So I'm very contrary in how I bet. That's why I do have some losing runs, because I'm very contrary. I like to go against the crowd. I can't see any benefit at all in doing what the other 99% of people are doing. So I tend to go against it. So I'm going to give you an example here, just a brief one. It might give you a slight insight into how I work. But I picked a team this morning that I thought I know are good over 1.5 goals. And I actually surprised myself. I could have changed this. I could have searched around for one that that actually lost money. But I knew Dortmund at home were a good team for over 1.5 goals. I was very convinced that they were. But I also was convinced that at the prices you would lose money. So going back to 2017, Dortmund have played 45 home games and they have only had 4 of those games that hasn't finished over 1.5 goals, and they actually make a profit after commission of 2.4 points. So out of those games, you get 2.4 points. But it's an average price of 1.16. Now, there was a spell. And I know the reason why I picked them was because I knew I bet them in this spell. There was a spell pretty much when Tuchel left, they changed manager, or Aubameyang went to Arsenal. The over all those games, the average price of over 1.5 goals at Dortmund was 1.16. So over all those games, average price 1.16. You only need, so you're only winning 0.16 less commission if you went in from the outset every game. You've got to win 8 to cover one loser. 7-8 bets to win one, to cover one loser. There was a spell when Aubameyang left, as I say, and things changed, that price drifted out to 1.23. So the average price in a spell of games was 1.23. That's a significant shift from the mean price of their games. I try and spot areas like that by analysing my data. I try and spot areas like that, that the price is now value, that the price in there is value to get involved. And as I say, I did very rarely went in at the beginning. I would go in after 15, 20 minutes. So that price may be 1.8, 1.9 by then. So I'm missing the early bets. I'm having less bets because if an early goal goes in, but I'm getting in at the right price. Now, I just picked Dortmund as an example because I thought Dortmund actually overall lost, but it didn't. But I was involved in that spell, which was sort of mid-2018. Contrary, when I put, and I can never forget, one of my first pods, I put Union Berlin over 2.5 goals on the podcast. And somebody said to me, it actually won over 2.5 goals, but somebody sent me an email, how'd you pick that? Load of old blah, blah, blah. The stats were horrendous. This, that, and the other. I had a few emails about it, but I had one in particular that stands in my mind. Can't remember the exact wording. Basically saying, load of old shit, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, right, hang on a minute. Just an example. You might want to write this down. The ROI on Dortmund was 5.3, by the way. So the ROI, if you'd bet everything from the start, so you'd have had 46 bets, you'd have won 2.4 points. It's about 5.3% ROI. But as I said, I try and go against the crowd. So I remember putting Union Berlin up, getting that load of abuse. But a team I do like for over 1.5 goals, and I'm going to give you this one for nothing, is a Russian team. Some of you may have heard it, not heard of it, FC Ufa. Now, FC Ufa, in the same period as Dortmund, because there's less teams in the league, they have played 36 games. But they have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 losers. So you've had 36 games, 11 losers. But the profit on those 36 games, even including the 11 losers, is 4.17. So you've got double the points almost, just under. As an ROI, and I'm just doing this quickly, rather than the 5 point ever, whatever it was for Dortmund, the ROI, it's 11.5%. The average price is 1.64. And that is the key to me. The average price is 1.64. So I'm getting in at a much better price. If I want to get in earlier, I can get in for the similar returns. I can get in much earlier, giving myself more of the game. And it's all a bit, it's a bit more perception. The thing with these matches are that once they have 2 or 3 games that don't go over 1.5, the price shoots out a lot more than it would in a Dortmund game. One, there's more people betting the Dortmund game, so you're going to get a more accurate price. Two, perception of it. Oh, it's the Russian league. I don't want to bet in there. There's never any goals. All that. They still average about 2.5 goals a game in Russia, just under this season, I think. So that's really how I start to look at it. I start to look at price, average goals, there's lots of stuff that goes into it, obviously who they're playing, this, that and the other, but it's a return over a period of time on a trend that you ride. Now, obviously, if they keep going over 1.5 goals FC Ufa, the price will go down, there won't be the money to be made. But what tends to happen is these, they'll have a couple of losers, the price shoots up for the next game. So you've nearly always got a chance with some of these lesser teams, if you like, to get involved and even get your money back and get back on a winning streak. But the difference in price, 1.16 Dortmund, 1.64 Ufa in the same market, and it makes almost double the profit, over double the ROI, and that's why price is important. If I just say to you, Dortmund have won their last 15 bets, which a lot of people do, don't they? And these are the sort of things I get called out for and have a go. And I keep, you know, if you go back to last year, how many times I say we're all different, we work our own ways. I don't dig anybody's ways out. I don't question anybody's mythology. What I do like, though, if somebody says I've won my last 10 bets, I'd like to know what are the prices. If you've won your last 10 bets, tell us what the prices are, so that, because if they're 10 at 1.16 and we lose the next two, I haven't made any money. If they're 10 at 1.7, and we lose the next two, we're still a healthy profit up. So you just want to know where that area is. So I'm going to try and do a lot of stuff like this. I won't go, you know, bore the hell out of you, hopefully. But just as an example, if you want to back over 1.5 goals, for me, I've got a choice between Dortmund on any given Saturday or FC Ufa. The likelihood is I would be involved in FC Ufa. And I wouldn't be given a clue to what their average over 1.5 goals is. But I can tell you that FC Ufa at home, while we're there, the average home over 1.5 goals over those games is 56%. So the average goals is 56% for over 1.5. Whereas Dortmund, you just have to weigh it because I filter the sheets, I'm doing this manually. Whereas Dortmund is the average is 88%. So that falls in line with the win rates that we've got in effect, but you're paying that price for Dortmund. And yes, they've made money, but when you look at the lower teams, it just goes to show you a 56% over 1.5 at home makes more profit than following a team that's 88. And it's that, you know, it's the green square brigade and all that of look at this. And I think when people get these sheets, you know, and I've seen it before on things, people, I get sent everything. I can't remember what one it was, but something about backing over 1.5 goals, similar to me going in sort of 20 minutes. But you've got to check that the last five games at home for that team had to be over 1.5. The last five games for that team had to be over 1.5. I don't see any merit in that whatsoever. I don't see any merit in that whatsoever. And the whole world can see it. Anybody on the planet can see it. That's why, for me, I love, the reason I love FDD, and this isn't a plug for FDD, it's the reason I love it, is I've got accurate prices. I know exactly how that system works. I know they record the prices straight from Betfair 5 minutes before kickoff for every game, for all the markets. And I've got some price data that I can dig into, which gives me a chance. So I hope some of you found that interesting. By all means, feel free to comment on the website rather than on Twitter. If you put it on the website, it's easier to have it all in one place if you've got things to say or ask, whatever. And I'm going to give you another one because I've got a little analysis sheet. So I'm going to try and give you a little stat every single day. I've got a match odds sheet in front of me which has got, because people say, what's your sample size? 22,996 games in front of it. 22,996 games in front of it. If you backed the home win in any of the games on that sheet that were priced between 1.72 and 1.81, so any of those 22,000 games, whatever it was, where the home team falls between 1.72 and 1.81, you would lose 55.35 points. If, however, you let the scales tip over 1.8, which for me has always been a bit of a threshold, and go from 1.82 to 1.91, just blind, back in any game in that period that fell in that, you would have 13.69%. 13.69 points profit. So again, when I look at home teams and I have borderline prices and they fall, for example, I think, well, that might be a good bet, but they fall between 1.72, 1.81. Something like that may put me off. It's not the only thing that would put me off. I'll go into it deeper, but I like to, I've always had a look when I go back and I'll talk about lay the draw. And when I started, I've always had a spell where I like to, what's winning? It's easier when something's winning to keep winning than, oh, that's losing and I've got to turn it round massively. So, for example, when you look across the board on the ultimate spreadsheet, lay the draw was always the best return. Taking every outcome of every game, you know, backing away was disastrous. Backing home lost money, but lay the draw was always the best return. And for many years, 5-6 years, it stayed a stayed in profit, laying the draw in every game. It has dipped down to about a minus 70 point loss, obviously over 11,000-12,000 games now, whatever it is. But my first approach to it was, it's easier if that's only losing a small amount to flip that round and find something that wins than take something that's losing 200 points and wins. So just in those two examples, you've got probably a similar number of games. One's losing 55 points, one's losing 13 points. My focus, and I'm not saying this is exactly going to work, but my focus would be, right, if it wins 13 points doing everything, can I find something in there? And I'm a great one that streaks and trends come along, and this is where I disagree, because the mathematicians look at everything, say you can't win, that can't be won. Home wins, look at them, home wins over the board, lose 500 points, can't win, you can't beat it, you ain't that good. When you've got the data, you can dig around and find these little pockets, and they don't last forever. Another key, which is something we can discuss, is spotting these ins and outs of when to keep doing something. But that's it. Right, so that's that. Hope you enjoyed that. Maybe not. Probably thought a load of old garbage. A couple of other things. Another thing, if you're bored, Chrissy Spreadsheets is doing a 30 and 30. I watched the first one yesterday. Got a few things I could help him with. Mic technique, presentation, stuff like that. But very good. If those of you want to learn some Excel, and one of the guys, Gary, who's a good mate of mine from FTS, he said he's going to get his kids watching it. Highly recommend it. I think they're going to be on YouTube anyway. He's doing them live and you can go in the chat room, but he's recording them all, so they'll go. If you want to learn more about Excel, whilst I have to say it through gritted teeth, there is no one better in my mind. I've had numerous people do things for me, but Chrissy on Excel. I'll be fair, Ryan, our developer, is brilliant with Excel and formulas, but Chrissy on VBA is absolutely superb. So if you want to learn more a bit about VBA, it's totally free, 30 and 30. That'll fill another half hour of your day. As I say, I'll step in and help him with the complicated bits. The Tamboff game, somebody asked me about the Tamboff game. Melissa did. And I did say I'd talk you through how I traded that. There was an example. Tamboff, I can't even remember who they're playing. Let's get the game up. Let me find it a second. Bear with me a second. Tamboff. Let's do that. Let me see. When did they play? It was just a few days ago. Let's up the top of this database. FC Tamboff. There you go. They played Krylia Sovetov. And the bet I advised was to back over 2.5 goals, strip it in from the start. Krylia Sovetov, as an example, they had gone 6 games away from home there without, I looked this up this morning, they'd gone 6 games away from home without having over 2.5 goals. Now that wasn't the sole reason. I thought, oh, we'll dive in and that will do. They've had 6. It was purely a price thing. The over 2.5, because of that run, the price thing had got to a level of 2.9. When I profiled the game, I expected goals using my numbers and ratios. So in effect, when you're making a bet like that, as I always say, once you get a goal, you can remove liability. I wasn't betting the game to get over 2.5 goals. I was betting the game because I expected goals and the price to go in at 2.9. When you look at normally a over 2.5 market, just taking a random sample of games, I'm just going to take 20 games below that. I've got 27 games. The average price is 207, so that's a full mix of games. for that game, and that will be a prime example of where a team is not getting over 2.5 goals in a smaller league, the price climbs and climbs and climbs. So it was 2.9, so it was a low risk game for me for the return. I expected goals. How did I play it? When the first goal went in, I expected goals. The first goal went in on 33 minutes. I thought, I'm going to give this. I'm in a position now where the market's come down. If it moves back towards where I got in, I could get out for scratch still. So I thought, I'm going to let this one ride. And then when it got to 2-0, which it did on 54 minutes, that is when I took my profit. And the first thing I did was remove my stake on unders and leave all the profit on overs. And then after about another 5 minutes, I thought, I'm going to be really annoyed at myself if I end up with nothing out of this game. I do think there's still half an hour to go. Still fancy there's going to be a third goal. But if there isn't, it's more, this is where the psychological thing comes in. You know, you're going into a quiet time. If I can't pick up a 150, 200 quid out of this, having made everything right, I'm going to have the ump with myself. So I just put 150 quid of my profit onto the unders, left 500 odd on the overs, and fortunately in the 80th minute the third goal came. But when that first goal went in, I often say to you, and got to bear in mind when I'm talking to you guys, I don't look at my results day to day. I had this conversation with Gary, funnily enough, a couple of weeks ago. I don't, on a Monday morning, run in and see how many points I've won or this, that and the other, because it would drive me bananas. I worry about all that in blocks. I'll do it in 2-3 month periods. I'm quite aware with the finances, what's going up and down and how I'm getting on. But I don't panic about any particular result or whatever. I'm very conscious when I give a tip to you guys that you're different to me in that mind. So when I say over 2.5 goals, I want it to win for you, genuinely. Well, I don't care whether people believe that or not, I want it to win for you. So when I say that and I say to you guys, remove liability, that doesn't always mean that's what I'm going to do. I don't want you guys to lose. I want you to protect your money first, particularly if you've got small banks, this, that and the other, because you'll learn that way. But for example, I've got in at 2.9. When that goal's gone in, let's say it went down, I think it went down to about 1.7. I've got all the time between 1.7 and it getting back to 2.9. When it gets back, I can get back out for no loss. So I could have another 20 minutes, half an hour of the game where I can just watch, in effect, on a free ride. I can still get out and exit for nothing across the board. So I'm giving myself that time to see if there's another goal. And that's basically all I did. I fancied goals. That was the key word. I fancied goals based on my numbers. The price had got to a level. Those teams were averaging about 2.5 goals a game. The price had got to a level where I couldn't not back it. I had to back it at 2.9, had to play that bet. And I'd be more annoyed at not playing the bet if it, you know, even if it lost, if I hadn't played the bet, I'd have been kicking myself. And then I did make a decision in the second half. I've called this right, but I'm going to have the ump if I get nothing out of it. So I'm going to put a bit of profit on the unders. You know, day's wages, that at least I can go to sleep knowing that I've done everything right. Didn't get the third goal, but I haven't not got anything in the bag. Right, that's it. I've got to go because I've got a meeting, which I'm now 8 minutes late for, an online meeting. Have a lovely, Thursday. Stay safe. FTS Connect. Please do that. I know people might say, oh, that sounds a bit weird. Literally, I just think in times where we are going to be going stir crazy, if I can connect people up. For example, we've got an FTS member in Italy. I just dropped her an email, check she was all right yesterday. I ring Art daily. Just staying in contact with other people as opposed to those just in your house. And particularly if people are on their own, whatever, FTS Connect, we can put people together, start email groups, WhatsApp groups, whatever it may be. I think it may be good fun. I have to say I have had enough of the WhatsApp groups with the loo roll jokes, but somebody will come up with something original soon. Right, have a lovely day. I'm going to do a book of the day tomorrow, and I'm probably going to start requesting myself stuff to watch on TV, but I am going to revisit West Wing myself in some of the quiet time. I'm going to go all the way, series 1-8 of West Wing. Best programme ever made, fact. Right, have a lovely, lovely, lovely Thursday.